trouble sometimes. I'm here, feeling his heart beat, beat. We know we all did, never let stay. Something your heart to God, days of the past we brought. The way to grand strife, this is the way.
Let's do a sound check. Pastor Dan and Linda, how are y'all doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Hey, we're
all
doing
seems okay here. At least we haven't had any earthquakes today.
Oh, man. Folks, we had like a 10-second earthquake here earlier tonight. We had some other issues to deal with, but praise God, we're running back on track again. And I want to say it's an honor to be here tonight and be able to bring to you from Messiah's Branch, prophecyhour.com, we've got Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin, and I want to welcome everybody tuning in, wherever you're tuning in from around the world. And with that, folks, invite a friend to join us. We're just getting started, and here we go.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the end times. Are you ready? Are you ready to endure till the end? Calling all who name Jesus Christ Lord, it's time to man up and report to the battle lines. Grab your coffee and sword and strap on your Ephesians 6 armor, because the show is about to begin. From the front lines of America Babylon and transmitting worldwide on the internet and satellite, you're listening to Omega Man Radio with Shannon Davis.
All right, everybody, let's jump on in. Brother Dan and Sister Linda, would you like to open us up in prayer tonight?
Yeah, would you like to do it?
I'll let you. You're used to it.
Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, I just ask that you bless this program, give people what they need to hear, Father, lift the veil from their eyes and from their heart, Father, and give them that which they need. Guide us in what we say and do, and just bless this program tonight. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well, it's good to be on with you.
Great to be back with you tonight, and y'all can go wherever the Holy Spirit leads you tonight, but maybe we should start off by asking you to tell us, how did Thanksgiving go there at Messiah's Branch?
Well, you know what? I knew he was going to ask that, you know. It went pretty good. So I've got a little thing here that will give you just kind of a rundown of part of it. My wife made this list up. Why don't you tell them a little bit? Take over.
Well, I wound up cooking 9 turkeys myself and cleaning them. We had some other people do some other ones. I think it was like 6 or 7 that cooked them and deboned them and brought them to us. And the total that I had for the ones we cooked was 275 pounds, and then whatever they cooked was added to that. So I'm guessing we had right around 300 pounds, probably maybe 350, somewhere in there. But anyway, we used all of that, but I think there's 2 bags in the freezer left. And I made 5 gallons, approximately 5 gallons of brown turkey gravy. It was brown because this year I have an abundance of, do I need to say cranberry sauce? Oh my goodness. I got so much cranberry sauce that's growing in the church. But, and don't tell me there's number 10 cans
in
the back.
Yeah, there's number 10 cans in the back.
But anyway, so I decided, last year we did an experiment and cooked a bunch of different ones different ways, and I stuffed them with cranberry sauce. So I tried to use up a bunch of it. I put 2 cans in all my turkeys that I made, and then I still sliced up 8 cans one day and 4 the other, but I still have a ton of that. But anyway, besides that, we did 50 pounds of potatoes.
I have something to say about potatoes. I had to peel those 50 pounds of potatoes.
Well, did you peel them, or you just cut them?
I peeled them. Cut all the bad off of them. There was barely any skin left on the other.
Oh.
Yeah, laugh. I mean, you're going to make you come over here next
that's
year.
That's one blessing.
Never mind.
He's laughing at me.
Yeah, that's one blessing. I had him to do the 50 pounds of potatoes, and Mike peeled the 50 pounds of carrots, and Craig peeled the 50 pounds and cut up the sweet potatoes. So
okay,
those three
stop,
jobs I
stop,
got out
stop.
Of.
Hey, you know, there's this Me Too movement thing going on, talking about all these women being abused. It should be me also, because I call that abuse. Notice that, folks? It was all men that had to peel the potatoes, peel the carrots. We didn't get to do any of the fancy stuff, but when it was time to peel and cut, who had to do it? The men.
And I've did it every year before. Last year, I think Manny did it, because I've got major fibromyalgia, and it really attacks my hand, so I can't. Doing the turkey was a lot for me, and then the dressing and all that. But anyway, so we made 7 dozen angel eggs. The reason I call them angel eggs is because we don't do devils, and when we came out of the world, I changed the name. And all my kids and grandkids don't even know deviled eggs. They're angel eggs. And they'll tell everybody, they're not deviled eggs, they're angel eggs. My grandma don't call them that.
That's right. Yeah, we're taking back all the sponge cake.
And then we had 8 cans of black olives, 2 big jars of green olives, and 6 jars of sweet pickles, 2 jars of dill pickles, big jars, and then 2 pans and 2 big pans and 1 small pan of homemade dressing, which I had about a half of a big pan left that's in the freezer, and I imagine I'll make some turkey dressing casserole or something for the people later on in the year after they get over the turkey.
Before you go on with this, I want to say, Mega Man, or, you know, Shannon, you should have seen these plates. Actually, you can go on YouTube. We put a short video up. A couple things I'll say real quick. But the plates were like they're platters, and they must have weighed at least 3 pounds apiece.
3 to 5 pounds, because there was over a pound of turkey alone.
Right. You had over a pound of turkey on each plate, plus a huge scoop of mashed potatoes, and then a huge scoop of dressing with gravy over it. And that's just what one side of the plate.
And then the other side was all full with all the other stuff. And we had dessert on a separate plate.
Talk too much. Anyway, and there's the point that I made. She made a good point. She said, with other stuff, well, the people got to come through the line. And as you'll see in the pictures, you know, it looks like, you know, there's the place isn't, the sitting room isn't full. Well, that's because the line took the people to go through it, because everybody, they weren't rushed through. They got to say, well, let's see, I want this and I want that. And so it took over 2 hours for all these people to come through the line, which worked out for us because, you know, they encouraged you, the people would eat and some of them would eat and then leave, which made plenty more room for others, because we only have, 40 chairs out there in that room, and we've got a couple of benches and then some other things. But, you know, most of the time, you know, at least after the 15th of month, we usually have standing room only. Okay.
And then we did 1 large pan and 2 small pans of green bean casserole, a small pan of rice broccoli casserole, 3 bags of veggie mix, which carrots, broccoli, and cauliflower, which was around 12 pounds. And then 2 number 10 cans of buttered corn, which was
buttered corn. Now that's what
you got them together. That's why it looks funny. And 2 pineapple.
That's the way you sent me the list.
No, they weren't. They wasn't. Yeah, anyway, it reads 2 number 10 cans of sweet buttered corn, 2 pineapple upside down cakes, and 12 fruit pies. And then we also had a lady make two or three different ladies made 10 dozen fresh homemade cookies that went like wildfire. And a small pan, there wasn't enough chocolate peanut candy, because everybody grabbed for that. That was and it was really good. It was really good.
Yeah, it was homemade. We all ate some of that. All of us that worked in the kitchen anyway.
You passed it out to all the
people. Yeah, I did. Everybody got a piece. Everybody got a piece of it. And then there was some left over after everybody
got
a piece. That the kids got. Me and Craig ate most of that.
Oh, well, see, there you guys. I got 2 pieces out of that whole thing. And I gave 1 to Mimi, my granddaughter, because they came late.
You're torturing me here.
Oh, my goodness. And you guys were eating them cookies, too. I see you taking them peanut butter and them chocolate chip ones. Oh, my goodness. They kept getting into everything. Then he wants to open the olives, and he wants to get into this. And I finally had enough. I said, no, it's for dinner.
You're making me hungry. He's elevated right now.
He's a pain in the neck. Go ahead. I'll let you comment.
I'm like those in the chat room. You're making us hungry about now. Man, that sounds
right?
Like some good food. You know, it was good food.
Amen.
I had to chuckle earlier
really
because there was a friend who used to say, you know, I've been peeling potatoes for 60 years. Because they left the darn skin on them.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Well, I got a potato peeler, so when I do them, it's pretty easy. You just, like, slice, you know, slice, 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 slice. It comes right off.
Okay. It wouldn't make it easier
if
God had created them without skin. We wouldn't have to be skinning potatoes. But I tell you what, hey, what a blessing y'all are to the body of Christ. And I know some people are blessed out there. And just so people know, you not only feed their bellies, but you feed them the Word of God, don't you?
Yeah, amen. They come there and, you know, like, if for instance, you know, we cannot keep Bibles, period. As soon as they come in, they go out, the people are there. You know, the people come there because it's a safe place and, you know, they get the Father's peace. You know, once in a while there's somebody a little loud that has to be asked to leave, but not often. And, you know, and here's the deal, you know, in fact, I just did a program with Joel Richardson on the mystery of, the book is called The Mystery of Catastrophe.
Wow.
Now, in this book, and, you know, if you want, I can talk to him, see if he'll come on and talk about this.
Oh, wow, that'd be awesome.
But it's a really fascinating subject because, you know, Shannon, have you ever heard somebody say that, you know, well, my God, you know, there's a catastrophe, you know, and some people die, and ever like now, you know, there's a lot of people that are being forced out of Syria, you know, into other parts of the world, you know. And while I'm not going to go into the whole debate about refugees, because some are and some are really have an agenda, but my point is this, is the Father uses things, well, like, let's go like this. What's the biggest biblical catastrophe that you can think about? How about Noah's Ark?
Right.
You know, Noah's Ark. Okay, that was a catastrophe. You know, God did that. The Father did that. That wasn't by the devil or anybody else. The Father created and he decreated. He did that to eliminate evil. Well, it didn't work, but it caused a reaction. It was by that catastrophe, it preserved the seed that would eventually lead to Messiah. It's just like Abraham.
Sodom and Gomorrah is a catastrophe.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Sodom and Gomorrah is a catastrophe, but I'm moving
okay,
back to the yeah, that's just like a woman. Anyway. Me Too movement's after me again. Okay. Anyway, moving right along. So, you know, Abraham, you know, now Abraham, you could take him as a migrant, you know, because that was a catastrophe for him because he was ordered out of the country that he lived in to go to the promised land. And so that was also a catastrophic thing for him and his family culturally to move and to go through all those countries and do those things. So the Father used it. It's just like the disciples. Now, the disciples, I believe, and, you know, I've talked this over with several of my friends and with Joel. You know, if the disciples weren't under persecution, you know, you remember Yeshua said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, right, Shannon?
Amen. Mark 16. That's right.
Yeah, amen. Go into all the world. Well, you know what? People have this tendency to be complicit. You know, they'll be comfortable in their surroundings, and so the Father uses things to move them on. So under extreme persecution, what happened? The disciples were scattered into the world, and what happened? Christianity spread worldwide. So the Father uses catastrophic things to move you. And I'll let my wife witness to this. See, I'm not that bad, ladies out there. Anyway, we were really comfortable in a storefront. Would you have ever left that storefront?
No, I got mad every time they said, you got to move. The homeless are bothering the beauty shop ladies. And I'd get away out of that. We moved two buildings down in the same strip mall.
Okay, but and your how big was your kitchen?
Well, in the first, in 803, it was actually your office that we used and shared the bathroom. There was one bathroom in the whole building, and there was a big room. And an office, and we used I put a stove and a desk. He had his desk in there, but I took it over as a table, put a stove in there, and me and my mom and Kathy, us three, we cooked many Thanksgiving dinners there, seven to be fat, well, three because we moved down to 801. But yeah, it was just a small room with the bathroom off of it, and we served the people.
Okay, you were comfortable, and then you moved the other one because we were there in the strip mall a total of 7 years. Now, but you were really comfortable in the end one. And would you have, my question to you, as time constraints, would you have moved out of that? Wait a minute, your kitchen was all, what's
that?
No,
but that's a perfect example of the Lord giving you a little to see what you do and then increasing it. Because I went from an office room with shared bathroom, to the end building, which had a big room and had a little foyer room that we turned into a little clothes closet. Then it had a big office room, which actually turned into the children's study room, office room, storage room. But then we had it had a closet and a back hallway with another bathroom. So we hooked the closet. We made it into a small closet kitchen and hooked the water and everything. Had a sink. It had room for a double sink, a stove, and a little corner table that somebody built me that I use as an island in the church we're in now. But it was a big step from just having an office, because then I had the back hallway that had two freezers and a refrigerator. So it was, I was set there. I wasn't going
to
move
again. Now, pay attention to my questions and answer them exactly, okay? So you were in a closet, and this closet, you moved from the other. You were just utmost comfort. You would have stayed there?
Yes, I would. I was mad when we got evicted.
Okay. And you got evicted. Now, wait a minute. And, folks, you can go online and go to our YouTube page. You can find it from prophecyhour.com and look, and you can see a video the news did and see how small this place is that she's saying we were comfortable and we were always packed. Okay, so you wouldn't ever move.
No.
So did it break your heart when we got evicted?
Yes, it did, until the Lord left.
Well, that
okay.
isn't...
Yes,
know,
it did. It broke my heart.
It broke your heart. So was that a catastrophic event in your life?
Yes, it was a catastrophic event, but better came.
Okay. Now, and I'm going to let you just talk in just a second, but I'm getting to a point. And so here's the point. Because we were so comfortable in where we were at, and it was an upgrade from the other place, but the point is we were so comfortable in where we were at, even though we're in a much better place for whatever now, you know. But the point is, we would not have moved. Just like I believe if the disciples hadn't got under persecution, they'd all probably still been sitting around in Jerusalem saying, boy, I sure love Christ. And they probably wouldn't have left Jerusalem, but under persecution they did, and the gospel went around the world. We had a catastrophic thing in our life, which was getting evicted from there, and we got into a different place. That had it's a freestanding building with its own yard and so on.
I rent it on $50 cheaper than we were paying in the place we were
right.
going.
Right, but so the Father used the catastrophe in our life to move us, and
exactly.
So that's what this book's about. It goes through biblical instances and explains that and what's going on in the world, and it will help a person that doesn't understand bad events in their life, that the Father is doing it for the greater good. And what is the greater good? The greater good is, it's not about being on this planet. It is in eventuality, but it is about a new heavens and a new earth and being with Him forever. He's all about later. It's not about now. Now it's just testing to get us there. You can comment if you want. We'll give you a minute before I get her to tell us something.
Okay, real quick. Happy Hanukkah, everybody. Night 4.
I don't want to go into that subject yet.
Well, you gave me what I could. So I did.
No, I was talking to Shannon.
Oh, I thought you were talking to me. Sorry, Shannon.
No. By the way,
you may comment.
I just want to say I'm excited to be here tonight with Pastor Dan and Linda Kettman. If you're just joining us from Messiah's Branch in Wichita, Kansas, also the prophecyhour.com, and I want y'all to keep on going. This is good tonight.
Oh, it's good tonight. Okay. Anyway,
it's good every night with you.
Entertained many for
okay.
many years.
All right.
I took your breath away.
33 years of this. Okay. Anyway, moving right along.
I'm enjoying having you on. You'll make a great team, and I love the updates that you bring, and the pulse that you have of end times. So this is good. Please keep going.
Amen. Okay, so, you know, and now, I want to say this, you know, I do, my wife said Happy Hanukkah, and I'm going to let you talk in a second, but it's like this, I don't, anybody out there that is celebrating Christmas, you know, that is something that's between you and the Father, and I implore you to really study that. I do love the reasons of people that, you know, are saying, you know, that, you know, they're doing it because of the birth of Christ. I'm just sorry that you're misinformed on that. But But and there is such a the spirit that's against Christmas is really bad. It's not anything done in the right reason, and I find no joy in the attacks that are being on Christians because of it, like a school that eliminates everything from it and calling it evil and everything. Hey, I don't like that, but it's the spirit of the devil trying to wipe out Christianity. But, folks, the truth of the matter is, many of you out there believe that it's Christmas, that it's Yeshua's birthday. But Yeshua is the light of the world. He was conceived. What's conceived, Mom?
It means when you are hit with the sperm in the egg and it becomes a baby in the womb, right then and there.
And scientists have now proven that there's
a spark of light.
Right. Amen. When that happened. Okay. So conception. We can absolutely tell from the Bible that because of John the Baptist and the way that the priests served in the temple and everything, we can actually tell that when Yeshua was actually conceived, and then when you add 9 months later, you know, a normal birth pattern or whatever, you know, then you come up with the Feast of Tabernacles. So let me just read this little tiny excerpt. I'll be real quick. Many believe that our Messiah, the light of the world, was conceived on the Festival of Lights, Hanukkah. The Bible does not specifically say the date of Jesus' birth. No, it doesn't. But it does say something else. It was not during the winter months because the sheep were in the pasture, and that's Luke 2:8. A study of the time of the conception of John the Baptist reveals he was conceived around Sivan 30, the 11th week, Luke 1:8-13 and 24. Adding 40 weeks for a normal pregnancy reveals that John the Baptist was born on or about Passover, Nisan 14. 6 months after John's conception, Mary conceived Yeshua, or Jesus, Luke 1:26-33. Therefore, Jesus would have been conceived 6 months after Sivan 30 in the month of Kislev, Hanukkah. That was the light of the world. Really? Was the light of the world was conceived during the Festival of Lights? Sure it was. Starting on Hanukkah, which begins on Kislev 25 and continues for 80 days. Well, that'd be nice. But 8 days, counting through 9 months of Mary pregnancy, one arrives at the approximate time of birth for the Yeshua at the Feast of Tabernacles.
Where he tabernacles among us.
Yeah, amen. But this, there's better science than this little tiny article, but you can go into it and actually read. But you see, Shannon, most people read their Bible, but they don't read their Bible in the sense that they don't look into what it's really saying. Most people read it like from a cowboy point of view when it's a book about Indians. And in this case, it's a Jewish book about a Jewish savior written by Jews that and so they speak in their terms, and when they talk about the temple and the priest, they don't understand that there's a set order and set time for these things so that you can nail these things down, just like
Lord had it inspired to write it so that we would know.
Yeah, amen. He did give us a clock, he honestly gave us a clock. And that clock is given over in Genesis. It tells what the sun's for, the moon, and the stars. Each have their own thing. The stars, for instance, are there to tell you the months and the times of the year, you know, and then you have day-to-day times and all that's done by the sun, the moon, and the stars. Not time to go into that big thing, but it is set down there, and we can if we just read the book from the point of view of the people that wrote the book, because they wrote it in their terms. They didn't, a Jew over 2,000 years ago, or 2,000 years ago, didn't sit down and write the book from a Western point of view. So if you're looking at it from a Western point of view or doing replacement theology like the church does, they say, okay, well, Israel's replaced by the church. That's not what the Bible says. If you simply read the Bible and identify what the old names of places are, it's like Nineveh. Does anybody, you know where Nineveh is? You probably know, Chan. Do you know what Nineveh is now, today?
Nineveh is over there, in that area where we did some fighting last year. Is that part of Syria? Where is it at?
No, we're, it's real close. Actually, all that part was called a greater Assyria, but
okay.
We're talking about Iraq.
Iraq okay.
is actually where Nineveh is at. In fact, ISA just practically destroyed Nineveh recently.
Oh, boy.
But so here's my point. So when it talks, the Bible talks about future prophetic events, they identify things as, you know, the people that talk about Nineveh in the Old Testament didn't realize that one day it was going to be Iraq. So they didn't talk Iraq, they talked Nineveh, you know what I mean? And that country, they didn't talk about it being, Iraq. Again, it was Assyria. In fact, people want to know about the Antichrist. The Antichrist, the Bible says, if you get past Revelation, I mean, there's a whole bunch of other Bible that talks about the Antichrist. It says he is an Assyrian. He is an Assyrian, and that's where he comes from. And you know what? It doesn't talk about worldwide. It talks about 10 nations that he'll have rule over. But people say, well, in the New Testament, it says all. Well, you know, just
translation.
That's translation error. And anyway, if you go up and look up the word all, you'll find out that it can mean all of everything, or it can be all of the subject you're talking about. And in the case in the New Testament and the book of Revelation, where it says the whole world or something, we're talking about the whole known world. While the Antichrist will affect the whole world, in a sense, because of the battles and things that are going on, he is not going to rule the entire planet. It's 10 nations. And guess what? It names the nations in the Old Testament all over the place. In fact, it does it. The Song of Moses, go read the Song of Moses. It talks about what will happen with Islam and the coming problem that we'd have, ergo the Antichrist. And we're seeing that right now. We're starting to see that come about. Anyway, I'll let you comment a minute if you want, Shannon.
Brother, this is that's a great topic y'all are covering. And I tell you, things are moving so fast right now, folks. We're really in some perilous times. And my brother,
did you hear about that wave? You experienced an earthquake tonight, correct?
Yes, sir. It ran for, I would say, about 10 seconds. It was the longest one I've felt here so far.
Yeah, amen. Well, I'm not blessing you for it, but, while the increased earthquakes is a sign of time, you know, there's within probably the last 10 days, I'm funny on times. Once something gets past me a week, it's recent or it's long. But very recently, though, within the last 10 days, there was a wave, and a lot of people, most people didn't feel it, but there was actually a wave that they started in the ocean in the earth. You know, we're talking about a seismic wave that went worldwide, and it took over, I think it was over 20 minutes or so to just subside. And then a few days later, we had the major earthquake in Alaska, which tore everything apart. And the last time I looked at the number, there was 144 aftershocks after it. I'm really seriously waiting for California to fall off in the ocean, not to coin a phrase from anybody, but I believe they're already getting partial judgment.
And that's the big one, right?
The big one. It'll be even
bigger
than
they've talked about for years,
Yeah.
Well, the way this country's going, it's going to be burnt or something, because it's just like the days of Noah, Sodom and Gomorrah all over again, only I don't know what it was like then, but it's pretty terrible now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
I agree with you.
Go ahead. What?
I agree with you, and I think that, when Dmitry Duterman, which you all had an opportunity to meet, mentioned what God showed him about the last days of America, and I hope that time is not now, but I know eventually it's going to happen. When we fail to do our job, he mentioned California as a targeted location. All of California would burn, all of Vegas where I've lived at, all of Florida. And, look at Sister Linda, look at those fires that were raging through Malibu and those areas. And even L.A. Marzulli's house got burned down. I saw a report recently. I've got friends in California, including family, and I would tell them and anybody out in California, get out of there. That place is on borrowed time. I mean, eventually it's going to go down. And you know what? God is sovereign, and he controls that time frame, and he can bring you out of there. But you might leave like Lot with nothing but the shirt on your back, folks. You know, better to get out ahead of time than have to have the angel of the Lord come and pull you out of there, out of harm's way. I'm just saying, I really believe Dimitri heard from the Lord, and, you know, the Red Dawn invasions. Let me say this. I had Augusto Perez on the other night, Brother Dan and Linda, and when he was speaking, God really kind of opened my eyes to see the fact that Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, all these countries that hate America, who are armed to the teeth, it's only God himself that's holding them back. But you know what? If we displease the Lord and we don't use this reprieve wisely and we don't repent and get our houses in order and drain the swamp even in government, God could remove his hand and he could turn those very people into his weapons of indignation, the weapons of wrath, and just tap onto them and say it's time to invade. God has used enemies before to destroy Israel, you know, and the temple. If we're, our ways please the Lord, then even our enemies will be at peace with us. But when we displease the Lord, you know, God used Nebuchadnezzar to invade. And apparently those very groups, they invade at some point in time. Dimitri saw it, Henry Groover, Dr. Jonathan Hansen, David Wilkerson. Saw a time where we're hit, EMP attack, nuclear attack, Red Dawn invasion. We're just praying that that time is not now, and I believe God will give us more of a reprieve. But if we waste this time, why should he give us any more time? And if we rebel against him, you know, judgment comes next. I don't want to see us get there, but we seem to be moving there pretty fast.
I got it. Okay, let me throw
this
into the ring. First off, you know, a lot of times I'm just like, you know, I find my spirit, I want to pray, well, you know, Father, please hold these things back. But when you come to the realization that you believe the Bible and you believe these things are going to happen, you need to stop praying for, and I'm talking to people, not talking to you, Shannon, necessarily, stop praying for it to be put off. Pray to be protected. Pray to be able to get right with the Father, because every time that you pray for these things not to happen, to be put back off, you're putting off the return. You're trying to put off the return of Yeshua HaMashiach, because these things are laid out. The problems that are going to happen with the world are laid out in the Word. And if you pray for them to be delayed, you see, there's the problem that so many people have. They want to delay the tribute. They want to delay the tribulation, but they want Yeshua to return. You can't have it, but they want Yeshua to return right now. But wait a minute, we got to put off the tribulation. I'm not ready to go through that. Wait a minute. If you put off the tribulation, you're putting off the return of our Savior. You know, which is the greatest thing that will ever happen. The birth pains are inevitable. Here's where it's at. If you read your word, you have to have the faith in it. Just like Dimitri Dudeman said, well, what about the church? He said, the angel told Dimitri Dudeman, he said, well, the church has left us. He said, well, what about the faithful people in the church? He said, I'll save them just like I saved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the firing furnace and Daniel in the lion's den. They had faith. They had ultimate faith. And the big thing is, you have to believe, well, they had faith. Great, I can be saved. But you know what else is in there? People, that's what I mean. People read, but they don't read. What you need to read into that is, well, why were they, what was the faith that they had? How did they prove the faith they had? They wouldn't bow to Baal. They would not bow to another God. They would not take on another God. In other words, they were obedient to the Father. Well, how were they obedient? They were obedient in his commandments and the way, in his law and the law of the Father. Not the law of man. And so in order to be saved in that time of trouble, we need to be about the Father's business and concerned about doing his business. And as long as we're concerned about doing his thing, then he'll take care of us through that. What do you think, Mom?
Amen.
Yeah, amen. And so that's what I mean.
Amen.
People need to read, when they read the Bible, they need to read the Bible. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, there's two or three stories that proves that just in the California fires. There's that church that left, that had fire all the way around it. They was in there praying and they was going to escape the fire because it was getting close. They got all ready to leave. They walked outside and the fire was there. So they went back inside and just started praying, and then next thing you know, the fire was out, the building was standing, and everything for miles around them was completely gone.
Was it complete wasteland?
And same way with that Star's house, that woman's, I don't remember.
That was, I don't know her name either. Are you talking about the woman that went in her house and prayed Psalm 91?
Yeah, Psalm 91 over and over again, and everything for miles around her house was gone, and her house was untouched.
Yeah.
Fire got up to the landmark and went out.
Now, you
know, absolutely.
I agree with you 100%, and what I said would then beg the question, well, if California will go down at some point, where would I go? And you know, folks, that's a $1 million question. My mom and I have talked about that many times. She knew that California is a hot spot, and, you know, she said, where do we go, son? I said, I don't know. I will tell you this, folks, as it's been stated before, the safest place to be is in the center of God's will, and if God has told you to stay in California, you're there on a mission, stay there. He'll protect you. But on the other hand, if you're looking to move out to Cali, I would say you may want to look elsewhere. And not only is that bad, but, hey, Florida is equally marked. And I know just as many people live in Florida. So
here's the big thing. Get off, number one, through major, excluding not most of the places that was named by Dimitri Dudeman, guess what? They're blue states. They're basically coastal states.
Yes.
The center and the heartland of the United States is a safer place, but you have to be in the Father's will. And that's just absolute.
You can't run, you can't hide. If you don't have the Lord, you're not going to survive. End of story.
And let me show you how. Here's an, you know, science just fascinates me, especially right now. You know, I got something a little short for you. Okay. It says, in one of the, this article says, in one of the most provocative, misunderstood studies of the year, that's what it, to the scientist's point of view, scientists in the United States and Switzerland have made an astonishing discovery. Now, in this, first their date setting, they've already proved that carbon dating doesn't mean anything because it's just a theory. You know, they'll carbon date something and then they'll find a plant in with it that's only 1,000 years old. And they said that carbon dating said the rock that the plant was in was, you know, 20 million years. So, but let me finish this. Anyway, but this is a scientific study. In one of the most provocative and misunderstood studies of the year, scientists in the United States and Switzerland have made an astonishing discovery. All humans alive are the offspring, get this, of a common father and mother, and Adam and Eve, who walked the planet, they say, 100,000 to 200,000 years ago, which by evolutionary standards is like yesterday. Moreover, the same is true out of 9 of every 10 animal species, meaning nearly all of Earth's creatures living today, sprang into being recently from some Big Bang-like event. In other words, what they're saying is all the animal species were created at once, and that all mankind through DNA can be tracked down to one male and one female. I have really heard that story before. Have you?
In the beginning, God created.
Amen. So the point is, folks, is the Bible is the truth. You need to read the truth. You know, and if you say you can't read it or understand, just keep reading it over, but get your Western point of view eyes off of it. Read it from the people point of view of the people that wrote the book. Here's the big deal. When you look at the Bible and it says Israel, it means Israel. Israel, we are grafted into them. They aren't grafted into us. If you read Romans 11, everybody loves the New Testament. I love the New Testament. Romans 11 tells us that we were grafted in among them because a few, didn't say all, some were broken off of the olive tree. Of the branches. So some branches were broken off, and they'll be grafted back in. And it tells us not to be high-minded and boast against them because they'll be grafted back in. But because they were broken off because of disbelief, if we rail against them, how much more so will we be broken off and burnt and not to be high-minded against them? the same thing, the Father and Yeshua, the same today, yesterday, and forever. The same message is consistent. He told Abraham, he said, I'll bless you who bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you. And through your seed, the whole world will be blessed, which is Yeshua. Yeshua is the seed of Abraham. Amen. And so, and it's the Abrahamic people. Well, you know, they messed up. Originally, the original concept was that Israel was supposed to become like they were supposed to become this really neat little priesthood. And this priesthood was supposed to go out and give the message of Yahweh to the world. But that ain't what they did. They messed up, just like all human beings do. We all mess up. They messed up, and like you said, Shannon, the Father used other nations to punish him, and then the Father turned around and punished those nations for punishing him. How's that for things, you know? But that's what he does. He uses physical things. It's like tonight. If I was to get a donation, I'm not going to open up my door and there's going to be a pot of gold there. Not saying the Father couldn't do it. But he's going to talk, he's going to put it on somebody's heart and use a human being to...
He works through people. That's how he does, that's
right.
How his work is done, is through people. It's always been that way. Look at the people in the Bible. He did what? His works through the people in the Bible. It's still the same. Same today, tomorrow, and forever.
Yeah, it's just like he didn't even have to use a flood. He could have just said, okay, everybody dead. Boom.
He tried to do that a couple times, and was it Moses that told him, hey, don't kill your people, don't be mad at them, you know, forgive them, look what you're doing, God,
stand up for them. That's what, coming out of Egypt, the Father says, move over, Moses, and I'll wipe them out and give you a new people, and he said, well, wait a minute, and here's what he did. He said, move out of the way. He says, you know, and I'm just paraphrasing. And actually, it's easier for people to understand than reading the text. But anyway, he says, move out of the way, Moses. You know, I'll give you another people. I'm going to wipe them off. And Moses, you know, he says, well, okay. He said, wait a minute. He said, how would it make you look to the rest of the world? Because if you brought them out here just to slaughter them in the desert, You didn't do that. And how would that look to the rest of the world about your word? Because you said you would bring them out and do this. So Moses actually called the Father on, and here's a big key to this. Moses called the Father to change his mind on his own words that he had given. Okay. So we have that chronicled in the word. So folks, if you have something that's a problem and you want, and God, man, you think God's angry at you or whatever, remind him of his own word. Be a lawyer. Plead your case. He wants you to do that. That's why he gave your word. It isn't that you're going to, about changing his mind. Is he wants to see where your heart is. If you believe by faith the word, you should be able to move. That's where it means moving mountains. Because by faith you believe it and it is done. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're only hindered by our faith. That's why people, you know, we hear of many instances all over the world of people being actually resurrected from the dead and things. But if you look at the places where that generally happens at, it's a place where people don't have much, you know. So they have the more persecution, the greater the faith. And that's just the way it is. It's just like, you know, Joel will even tell you about how many Muslims are turning to Christ. You know, they have this one ministry that he's involved with, Shannon. This guy that's a co-author on this book, Nathan Graves, they came up with a little, I'll call it a scam for the Lord. Well, they set up charging stations around, you know, where these people were fleeing Syria, you know, and the war zones. And they set up charging stations, also with giving out water and food to the refugees. And, you know, most of those guys had cell phones, you know what I mean? So they ask him, they say, hey, well, we can charge your phone for you, and we've got a little SD chip, micro SD chip, that has the Bible in it, and it has some music and stuff in it. Can we give that to you and put it in your cell phone? Most all of them took it. And so by that moving, those people, now here again, we have people moving through a catastrophe, moving from one place to another, getting a witness by Yeshua, getting a whole Bible put into their phones, and many of them turning their lives over to Yeshua and now becoming Christians And, you know, why not? Because, hey, guess what, folks? That's Christianity didn't start in the Western world. It started over there where all this was going on. That's where you need to watch. Watch the Middle East. Watch Israel. That's where it's going on at. That's where you need to keep your eye on, because that's what it's all about. But yet, I call it a scam, meaning, yeah, hey, man, we're going to give you some water and food. And, hey, by the way, can we give you a Bible? You know, and charge your phone at the same time. Because they didn't have a charging, you know what I mean? And people were just wondering. So it's a great deal. And so that's Nathan Graves in ministry, and Joel was involved with those folks. And that's the thing you like about Joel Richardson, Shannon, is Joel just doesn't sit on the bench and talk about different things. While he talks about Islamic Antichrist, he goes over there and risks his life and witnesses to those folks, the very folks that he writes about in his books. And so, you know, he's really a fantastic author. And, wow, you should really see, folks, you should go to his site, joeltrumpet.com, and check out. He's got a DVD teaching set, or you can get it on USB, that teaches you, proves without a shadow of a doubt where the real Mount Sinai is.
It's really, really interesting. I mean, you can sit and watch the whole thing all at once. That's how interesting it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know what? And it's like 9 hours. Let's go with this. Joel is a super researcher, and there is countless. Basically, it's been written all along by many, many different sources where the real Mount Sinai was. Just people weren't putting it together. The reason we think it's in that other place, because of Constantine and his mommy, which dwarfed into the Catholic Church. So basically, right. The Catholic Church is responsible for false Mount Sinai. Go ahead, I'll let you comment.
He's really easily listening. I mean, the way he words and teaches everything is really understandably real. It's really, you just need to check it out. It's amazing. I really love the guy myself.
Well, I'm going to have to break down and bring him on this program.
You got to bring him on as a guest, because we'd love to have him. I saw the video that he put up on YouTube for the Dan and Sister Linda, where he was the first guy to get a drone up over that mountain. And, you know, I've been
almost
following the work of Ron Wyatt, who him and his sons actually discovered it over there. They were the first, as far as I know. And then, you know, they went back there a number of times in the 70s and beyond. And then you had come along Bob Cornucci and Larry Williams, who gave no credit to Ron White, by the way. And
by the way, we were very blessed and got to meet and shake his hand, too.
Ron White,
Ron White.
Yeah, amen.
That was a real honor. But I believe that this is some of the greatest information to come out in a long time. Of course, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the family. And then there was also a Japanese doctor who all had pretty much free run of that area for a number of years and documented and brought back all the artifacts. But no one ever had the drone technology till now. And to see that video, man, I said, this is going to be awesome.
Right.
Do you get any word from him on when he will be releasing a book on it?
I can tell you absolutely. Number one, but real quick, couple of things let me throw in here. Number one, after Ron Wyatt, and actually who helped Ron Wyatt, there was a couple, and I just can't think of their name right now. They were working in the country, and they found out through Ron Wyatt, and they went there most all of the pictures that Ron Wyatt has, because you remember he got arrested.
Right.
The pictures actually come from this couple who worked in the area, and that couple took more mountains of pictures than any other person alive, other than somebody that we don't know, Westerner, let's say that. But as far as discovering Ron Wyatt, you know, it's rediscovered it, because it's like this. In one of the videos even, were that we talked about this on the radio, Joel and I, in one of the videos, he goes up to, he's talking to a Bedouin, you know, he's talking to, in this little tiny town, that used to be Midian, and he's standing there, they're looking up at the mountain, and he asks this guy, he says, this Arab, he says, you know, well, what's the name of that mountain? He said, oh, this is the mountain of Moses, and this next mountain is the one with the split rock. And that guy did not learn all that from Ron Wyatt. He didn't learn it from anybody else, because it has been They've always known. The Arabs that live in that neighborhood have always known. You can just go to them, hey, where's Moses' mountain? They say right there. They've always known it. And you know what? They don't go up there. They don't pasture their flocks and things up there because they believe it's sacred. And so it's basically, in a sense, untouched. As far as when the book's going to be out, technically the book is already where it's on PDF. In fact, I got reminded to send it over to me. But it will be out in form at the end, probably the last week of this of December. And that's book one. Book two will come out in the spring. And so it's available. The DVD.
But it's online right now. You can get it right
it
online.
No, that's just privately to me.
Oh, okay.
Privately to me and his friends. He's give out a PDF of the book. But you can get the teaching series. The stuff that's in this 9-hour teaching series is basically the information that is in the book.
It's in the book.
That's in the book. And so.
And they're amazing. You just got to get them.
Now, didn't God give to Abraham and Isaac the child of promise all the land that would also encompass much of modern-day Saudi Arabia, including Mount Sinai and down to the Euphrates River, Lebanon, all that area that Israel doesn't currently possess, but God promised will be theirs one day?
Wherever he told them where you set your feet.
Okay.
You know, and that's basically the other word. I can give you a breakdown of it on another program. I'm just looking up, seeing that we're running out of time. Anyway,
that is amazing. The footage. If y'all haven't seen what we're talking about tonight, get over to YouTube and look up Joel Richardson. He put it up there, and you know he gave some new facts I wasn't aware of. That the current prince who's taken over for his father, King Saud.
Right.
They were talking about maybe turning that whole area into some type of resort.
They're going to make he's in the process of making the most futuristic city on the face of the planet. I mean, with flying cars and moving sidewalks and all this stuff, and they have the money to do it. It is in the works to do it. It won't wipe out Mount Sinai, but it is just like real close to it. So, you know, even Ron said this. He said he believed these things were saved till the end time of the end to prove the witness of Yahweh. Well, so now's that time, brothers and sisters. Now's that time. And so, I do look for it to be opened up, and let alone after this information comes out from Joel Richardson, it's just, you want to see the information, you folks really need to get the DVD or the USB. If you don't like to read, if you like to read, you can wait on the book. And there will be more in the book that's a little different than the information that he presented, you know. But it's really fascinating. We don't have any problem sitting down and watching it. I want to just keep watching it, but we don't have
enough
time to watch 9 or 10 hours all at once.
Man, that would be like a dream come true to get over there and be able to walk around there. There was a book a number of years ago. I think it was called The Mountains of Moses. Someone wrote talking about Ron White and his journeys over there, and then others have went out looking in that area.
Mm-hmm.
That the cave of Elijah, where the prophet Elijah hid out from Jezebel, that apparently there was
pictures of it.
A construction group a number of years ago that was working up there, and they had some Filipino workers, and they said there's a story that one of the Filipino workers, he was out on lunch break and wandered up there into that cave, and he didn't come back from lunch. They found him a couple weeks later. He had almost lost his mind, and they said, where you been? What's going on? He said, I stumbled across this cave and went in there to look around, and there was an angel in there, and it was singing to me. And I went in and listened, and it would sing, and then it would torment me. It sounded like a demon. And it wouldn't let him go. And finally, he made his way out of there. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I would tell you this.
Well,
it's an amazing place up there. Everything the Bible says that you would find going towards Mount Sinai, they found up there.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I say, you know, Joel bears witness to this. He has pictures and things, and not just through his work, but see, through he has... You know, he snuck into Saudi Arabia, you know, he went in there with other people, and, well, he didn't sneak into Saudi Arabia, but he snuck up to the mountain. He could have gotten shot, like he referred us and told us that, you know, he could have gotten shot for it. But the point is that I believe the father's got his hand on him, and he has so many contacts through that's how he was able to get there and see these things, because he has contacts and people, because he does the work over there. You understand, folks? He does the work, and so, you know, he's made contacts and things, and a lot of these things that we're talking about, like, say, if you, the Muslims all living in an area, they know the Mount of Moses, oh, it's right there, you know, Elijah's Cave, oh, it's over here, you know, the Split Rock, oh, it's up there, you know, and they're not just now saying it. They've always been saying it. It's their culture. You understand?
Now, you know, anyway, when you talked to Ron Wyatt, I heard that he had also found, when he went over there and found the Ark of the Covenant, he found the Sword of Goliath. There was a story that he told, I think, about he also found the graves of Noah and his wife. Did he ever talk to you about that? They found these graves, I don't know, people about 15 or 16 foot long, if I recall the story, and somebody had went in there and robbed it and ran away with millions of dollars in precious jewels that the people were buried with. I don't know if I have my story right, but did you ever hear anything about these graves that he found?
Okay, there is if you go to the Ron White site, there is some videos that show the you know, anchor stones and things from Noah's Ark, and it also shows some of the graves and things, you know, like there's eight graves, Road of the Mystical and all that. There is actual video to what you're talking about,
okay,
made by Ron White, and I believe that ought to be the witness to it, because it's been a few years since I don't want to quote something, Shannon.
They,
you know,
found
saying
so much stuff. They found wagon wheels in the Dead Sea and all kinds
of
stuff.
Well,
yeah,
yeah. Talking about Noah's Ark, the point is there's some really factual information there, and it does pertain to what you're talking to, and I'm saying, yeah, I myself, it's been a few years since I've watched the video, and, you know, many more years since I had even spoken to Ron, you know, which of course has passed away.
Well, let me
ask you. There's some great video evidence of that, of exactly what you're saying.
Let me jump to another question. Y'all be the ones to really pick your brain about this, and we could do it on another show too, but let me ask you this question. There's been some talk that the true location of Solomon's Temple was not up there on the Temple Mount that we know as being the Temple Mount, but was actually located over there in the City of David. And that's a very controversial stance, and I think Bob Cornucci is the one that's been talking about it, and some others out there that we've been looking in the wrong place. That the place up there, the platform, which I've actually been up on there, I've been up there. They wouldn't let the Jewish people up there, but I went up there and walked around. They wouldn't let me into the mosque, but I walked over on the other side where you could definitely build a temple. And that's what I know Michael Rood believes. And I'm not saying that they're not correct, but to have this other opinion out there being put forth that actually it was in the City of David, and that Temple Mount complex was where the garrison of the 10th Legion was located, not in some small building that would only hold a couple hundred people. What do you think about that? Have you heard any talk about this? It's very controversial, but do you think they may be looking in the wrong place for the temple?
Guess what? First off, I've talked to Cornuke about this, and I've talked to some other people about this and about the City of David, and that the City of David is indeed where Cornuke says. Now, going with all the subject matter in it, I would not like to breach this open until I had a couple of facts in front of me from my program that I did with him. It's just, you know, something, Shannon, I don't like to open up something. Now that I've gotten a little older, I don't like to just fly off the cuff, especially when I know there's some facts and information that, you know, goes along with it. Here's the deal. I like to be correct. You know, I'm a big thing. I want to please the Father. And I don't want to say something that's not true and claim it's true. And you know what I'm saying? I'd rather have the facts in front of me. And I just have to look it up, because it is a fascinating subject.
Oh,
we should do a program on it.
Well, you and Richard Reeves did a bunch of programs together too through the years, so you've got lots of information from
the
wrong
life. Oh,
yeah.
Well, you know, I've been doing radio, and there goes to the ministry a little bit, which we'll kind of talk about that a second. You know, I've been doing radio since 2002, but let's back up. Well, let's just talk about my background for a minute, or our background, so to speak. You know, it was clear back in the middle 90s when we hooked up with Stan when he did his second meeting. That's the first meeting we went to.
Wow.
And it started getting his newsletter. So that's in the middle 90s.
Weren't you doing shortwave radio then?
No. I didn't start shortwave until 2001. Stan was my inspiration for radio. As was
he
the
was.
Newsletter. I thought I could do a better newsletter than him before I started doing
I
mail,
know, I remember.
Newsletter. Yeah, so I can do better than that. But we have been friends and continue to be close friends to this day. And he's not afraid to say it. He's a big supporter of our ministry, always has been. But Stan, and that's folks, that's Stan Johnson of the Prophecy Club. Anyway, but Stan, the big thing about Stan's ministry, and that's how I just found Ron Wyatt, is that Stan would find all these, and this is before the age of everybody in the internet. In fact, back then, while there was starting the bleeding of an internet, nobody trusted anything that was on the internet. If you found it on the internet, they said, no, it's not true. You know, but anyway, it was fake news. There we go. Anyway, just like there's a fake Mount Sinai. That's what I got Joel with. I thought he thought it was funny. Anyway, but here's the point. So he'd find all these different people that spoke on biblical topics, whether it was end times or like Ron Wyatt, Mount Sinai, Ark of the Covenant, Henry Groover. That's how I met Henry Groover, so on and so forth. And so I was at a lot of these meetings helping Stan at the meetings, and so Stan introduced me to these people and said that I was a credible guy. In fact, Stan never allowed any other material in the history in the Prophecy Club other than what he was selling, or he wouldn't let anybody bring anything and pass it out, but he allowed our newsletter, excuse me, when I say my, I mean us, but our newsletter that we were doing, he would allow me to place it on the table next to his newsletter and freely give it out.
Yes.
Our first mailing list and the people contact we made through the Prophecy Club and through Stan saying, yeah, this guy's credible. So here you had a guy that you know, bikerish looking, you know, that Stan says he's credible to these people. So these people, I became friends with them. And that's how I made contacts. And so when I turned around and went into radio, a huge percentage of people that were into the prophecy world took me as a credible person, you understand? And so I got my start with these materials, visiting and talking with these guys at these meetings. And, you know, so I got a lot of inside information and you know, were able to talk to them or call them on the phone or whatever. And to be friends with them, in which I have lasting friendships with them to this day. It also gave me a lot of insight in being able to how to debunk things and how to research and find out, well, is this true or not, so on and so forth. And so, you know, that's how our ministry started, you know. Well, we started by being saved, but that's entirely.
That's how the radio and the.
But the radio and the research. But we started out by going to Prophecy Club meetings all over the place and helping
Actually,
out.
Actually, we started out in Burns. We started a Bible ministry. We got a Bible International, or I think was the name of it. They sent us Bibles, and we got the phone book out and mailed them to everybody in Marion County. That was the first ministry we did.
We mailed them
Everybody in Marion County.
It was Florence.
It was Marion County. I got the phone book. Yeah, it was like 300
anyway.
Bibles.
It was a lot.
It might have been everybody, but
it was a lot.
You know, I'm going to tell you something.
It was a lot.
I am very thankful.
That's the first one. And then the newsletter came, and I remember starting that on a word processor and a one of those
copy machines.
Yeah, Xerox copy machine.
Yeah, well, we'd take
one
out
of those little ones. Yeah.
Back then, see, other people were doing mail out newsletters and things, and people would send me articles from all around the world out of newspapers, and we'd take the actual articles and cut them out, or they'd be sent to us cut out, and I'd fill up a page and tape them to a what is it, 11?
Copy paper, yeah.
Well, 8 by 11 or whatever that is. And we'd tape them onto that piece of paper and then put them upside, then put them on the copy machine and copy it and make the pages of the newsletter.
Right. And then we took them and had them print them. But now we do it all
for sale.
I want to say that
a new newsletter.
I appreciate your ministry, and I appreciate the ministry of Brother Stan Johnson Prophecy Club. It has done so much to feed me and many others over the years and continues to do that. You know, I love the Prophecy Club tapes, and I've watched many of them on DVD. And then I've listened to many episodes of Messiah's Branch, and you, both of you have done such a fantastic job of getting great speakers and informing the body of Christ about end-time events and calling for people to get ready to meet Jesus. And you all continue to do this. I want to throw something at you. I was thinking recently about shortwave, and for the longest time, I thought it had pretty much died out. And I thought, you know, really we need to concentrate efforts on YouTube and podcast. And I still believe YouTube is the way to go. It's the biggest TV network in the world. But I don't know. Shortwave has been on my mind recently. And I just found out, doing a little investigation, that World Harvest, you know, the ministry of the late Lester Sumrall, they bought some transmitters even out in a place called, I think it's called Palau, which is east of us here, and it broadcasts like 500,000 watts all into China. They cover the world, World Harvest, WWCR, of course, AVR, which you introduced me to, and other networks. You know, they're broadcasting out there to still people that are using shortwave, and my thought was this: what if the internet goes down or it's disrupted? How would we broadcast? And my grandmother, before she went home to be with Jesus, she would said something to me a couple of times, which I thought was strange, but it's making more sense as we go along. She said, "Son, the Lord has told me you need to have a backup way to broadcast. I don't know if it's a radio or shortwave." She was trying to identify what the device was. I wasn't clear on it. But she says a backup. And that's been resounding in my spirit recently. And I know you're still doing shortwave, aren't you?
Well, through AVR, I'm doing shortwave. If I had an opportunity, a way to pay for a couple of hours a week on shortwave, I'd do it in a heartbeat because of this. Number one, if you broadcast on shortwave, and let's, using WWCR as an example, if you have a program with WWCR, it's going to, number one, it's going to go on WWCR, but it's also going to simulcast at the same time over the internet. So you're getting two birds with one stone. There's a huge amount of people in this world that still listen to shortwave that need to get saved and need to be informed that don't have anything but a little shortwave radio. And so, yeah, we go out and through AVR and shit, and I do get people that tell me they listen to me on satellite. They listen on the old C-band satellite because AVR is on broadcast on, old shortwave C-band satellite. Those are those big dishes, which now it's into a smaller dish that's a little bit bigger than the ones that you get for, you know, satellite TV.
Right.
And a lot of people are buying those up. Those are, I can't remember the exact name of it, but it doesn't matter. And you can get one for about $100 or under, and you'd be amazed at all of the end time radio stations and evangelistic stations that are on those, and people worldwide listen to those, especially in more primitive countries. Yeah, that is great. You just got to remember, you got to have a way to, you know, get the program to them, you know. Other than
we used to mail them to somewhere.
We mailed them to a couple of people, but
like a delayed broadcast. So you mail them the tape, and then they would play it after the fact, right?
Right.
Yeah, you make a tape and you send it to them, and you can do it. You can end up doing it. You know, I mean, it's not like instant karma if you do it that way, but you know it's going to probably get to them. You know, especially if. Here you have the thing with the internet, you know, and this is actually a whole program in of itself. The people that actually are like Facebook and Google and all that, they're getting stronger and stronger censoring the internet. there's going to be a time where yes. none of this is going to be able to go out on the internet. You're going to have an alternate way to get the message to the people because they're going to stop it dead in its tracks.
Yeah.
Brother,
and
I believe
so
it.
You need to establish that. Now, on a shorter note, now, you know, a person should also seriously consider, like AVR does, they do a broadcast over the airwaves, over FM airwaves that aren't being used, and they have never been troubled about it or nothing, and it's a low-power FM station that you can do yourself that reaches out to the community around you, like, you know, a 10, 20-mile radius, you know, that you can do and get away with, so to speak. AVR has been getting away with. Well, I've been on their station since 2004, and they're still broadcasting locally like that also on FM. And so, a person should also consider that. I mean, if you're really serious about the message, these are things that you do I do the way that funds lead me. You know, like I say, I'd go right now if I could do it, I'd go to WWCR and say, hey, I want to pick up a program with you, you know, and buy some airtime. But, you know,
it's not cheap.
We don't have that kind of funding right at the moment.
And I'm there with you. Neither do I. And I would tell you, just even 1 hour block will cost you almost $500, and that's old rates. I don't know what it is today. It went on WWCR, but just 1 hour. Well, you know, I'm thinking, God, there's got to be a way to do it. It's too bad we don't have a satellite. You know, TBN did it. Daystar did it. My grandfather used to know Marcus Lamb when he was a 17-year-old evangelist with the Church of God, and he came over and preached for my granddad at his church many times over
right.
the years. And, you know, it started with one station and then turned it into a satellite network. TBN the same way. I'm thinking, God, help us. If only we could have satellites like that and put full gospel messages up there, real programs that will make a difference. I don't believe that most of that stuff is helping a lot of people, to tell you the truth. You know, they don't talk a lot about spiritual warfare and deliverance. I know that much. But, you know, if you get into satellite, you could just beam it anywhere in the world. Or if you had your own shortwave transmitter. I don't know what those cost, but I bet you they're not cheap. What does a shortwave transmitter cost if you want to have your own one? About $1 million?
I wouldn't have the slightest idea in the world. You'd have to have a tower and you'd have, I don't know. But you can go, I'm trying to see what they call that. You know, if you buy up from the satellite company, they're up there, they're equipped for that. I think that it's cheaper than shortwave actually to get on a KU band satellite network to actually buy airtime on it. I started to check it out once, but you know, it's something you got me thinking again. Would check it out and see what it runs to get on that network, because you know, they got this, there's the kicker, you know, folks, we're saying satellite. Well, you know, we can't own a satellite. I mean, I guess we could if we had billions of dollars, $1 million or so. But that's not feasible. I'm more looking at if I'm doing much self-broadcasting, probably locally. Now, unless the father, you know, uses somebody to bring me after talking tonight and
right.
Contacts me and say, hey, I want to donate to that, I'll finance it. Then, hey, we'll do it. We're on board with it. But right now I don't have the financing, but it is worth looking into. Back to you.
Sure is. Now, I want to thank everybody for coming out tonight, and I want to encourage you to be part of Messiah's Branch. Brother and Sister Kevin, tell people about Prophecy Hour, when and where they can tune in, and about how they can support the homeless mission right there in Wichita.
Okay, first of all, I'm going to let you tell them what we need for the mission and tell them what we need.
Oh, just about everything.
Everything.
Utensils, plates, cups, coffee, tea, sugar, salt, pepper. Vegetables, meat, eggs. Did I say eggs?
Eggs, yeah. Well, we serve eggs from 1 to 3, you know, and that's great. But, okay, in other words, folks, we need donations for everything. We need it for food. If you live
finances.
In an area, we have people. We need finances. But we have people that have over the years, not as much as they used to, before everything, internet took over, then we used to come home and our yard would be full of boxes because people would be sending us clothing and food and everything through the United States Postal Service. That still works if you want to buy food and do it. But now there's another tricky way to do it. Most chain stores like Walmart and the Dollar Tree.
Dillon's, Target, all of those.
Okay, but I don't know if you can buy online and pick up at Dillon's, but I do know for specific, the Dollar Tree, you can go online and find a Dollar Tree, and you can go in there and buy, like, over-the-counter medications and so on, and you can purchase it on the Internet, and I can pick it up at that store. The same way with food things from Sam's and
Dillon's.
From Walmart. I don't know.
Dillon's does it too.
Okay, so that best thing if you want to do that, contact me, and so we can arrange the logistics of it. Or you can simply send a donation. You can donate online, over the phone, or mail a check and money order. The United States Postal System still works, and you can find all this information on how to do it at prophecyhour.com. At prophecyhour.com, you can also find links for our past radio programs because we put them in a podcast after they're broadcast live on C-band satellite and live on the net. Then they're put in podcast. Well, then a day later after the podcast comes out, they come out on YouTube, so you can find copies from our YouTube page. How do you find our YouTube page? You go to prophecyhour.com and you'll be able to find our YouTube page. And how do you find the podcast archives? You go to prophecyhour.com. So you see, folks, everything you need to know about us. What do you need to know about the Mission Church? And find a link to the Facebook Wichita Mission Church. Guess what? You can find the link over there at
prophecyhour.com.
Right. Amen. And if you want to talk to my wife, get a hold of me. I'll give you her phone number. Anyway.
I give his out.
Oh, yeah. It's mutual thing, you know. Well, you better talk to her about that. But so, folks, we encourage you. We have a lot of great guests on, and do I 100% agree with all our guests? No. But I believe everybody out there that's in the body of Yeshua HaMashiach has a piece of the puzzle, and that's why we need each other. A hand needs an arm needs a body, a head needs ears to hear and eyes to see and feet to walk on. We're all part of the same body, and we all have different functions within the body. And so to the radio programs, no, I don't 100% agree with everybody that I have on, and it's impossible to 100% agree. I don't 100%
agree
with my
me.
Wife.
Yeah. Thank you, Linda.
Yeah. Anyway, so, but we have some great programs on over there, and we do try our best, and we've been broadcasting consistently for a long time, just like our ministry. You know, the ministry that the Father put on us, we have been doing while Messiah's Branch has been around prior to that. We started feeding in June of 2000. So this is our 19th year. We'll start our 20th year of the Mission Wichita Mission Church.
June 1st,
next year, 2019, which is just right around the corner.
All right.
Yeah, amen.
And our anniversary is the 23rd, 33 years.
Hey, oh, congratulations. Wow. That's great.
Yeah,
praise
amen.
The Lord.
Anyway, so yeah, I'd appreciate it. Now listen, and if you want to send other things, you can, we prefer King James Version large print Bibles instead of the newer versions.
Yes.
And two, there's lots of reasons, but let me give you two simple reasons, folks. You know, when you get a bunch of people together for a Bible study, you want them to read from the same book. Because, you know, this person has this version, this person has that version. You know, that's a lot of confusion, you know. It's hard to follow if somebody's reading out of an NIV and you're reading out of a King James. It's kind of hard to follow from one because the words are different. So if we give out King James Version, we prefer large print Bibles because a lot of people in this that are poor or in the street, because we help the homeless and poor. And the poor being people that are working hard, working, trying to keep a roof over their heads, but just, you know, can't get everything. What? You want to say something?
No, they just can't make ends meet, so.
Right. So we help homeless and poor. So we give out Bibles, so then when we sit down and talk to them and open up the Bible for a Bible study, and or want to teach them something like Craig's got this fellow Craig that is he's an elder, he's an associate pastor. He came up with this deal. He says, hey, you know, he said, I'm going to give out cigarette papers to these people.
Because they all roll cigarettes. They go around picking up cigarette butts a lot of the time and just re-roll the tobacco out of the ends of the cigarettes. But they always had a need for paper, so.
Okay. So, anyway, so I said, Craig, you don't believe in smoking? He said, no, but they do it anyway. But he said, somehow it's going to get me to be able to talk to them. And first he was going to take each paper thing and print a scripture on it and give it to them. And he tried to get volunteers to write them on it for it, and none of that worked. Finally, he said, it's like this. So he started giving them out, and there's like people coming from all over the city. And he's going through cases of cigarette papers. And then he has I think it was from the Holy Spirit, which was the intention all along, put it upon his heart to, wait a minute, if a person wants a rolling paper and they ain't got money to buy rolling papers, if they want a rolling paper, they got to give him a scripture. And there's, guess what, King James Bible over there. Give him a scripture and tell Craig what it means. And then Craig sits down. What it means to them. And then so Craig sits down with them and explains to them, sometimes they're right, most often, he sits down and Bible studies it out with them, and it's a really great witness. And so, you know, it's a catastrophe that they want to smoke, but they're really getting
They're learning the care. Word of God by through that. Though I really love that ministry because they need to give them the scripture. If they want to smoke that cigarette bad enough, they need to give him a scripture and tell him what it means. And then talk about it, and then he'll say, okay, here's your rolling papers.
Yeah, amen. So, anyway, back to that, folks, King James Large Print Bibles, you can find them online, or you can find them in most stores. You know, even stores, some stores still sell them, like Sam's and different places, but we prefer, you can get them for under $10. You can get them online, you can get them for under $5. Don't be deceived. A lot of them say they are large print, and they're not. They're micro print. But anyway, so we need Bibles. We'll take used Bibles. Go find them at the secondhand store. We have people send secondhand Bibles to us all the time, and they go like hotcakes, too. So we can use Bibles. Clothing, if you're in the area, or you want to send coats, hats, gloves, all those things, the people need what you need. You got that? If you need a coat, they need a coat.
Emphasize men's clothing because we get a lot of women's and children's, but we need men's.
Right. And anyway, so clothing. We give over-the-counter medications. I usually buy them at the Dollar Tree, and I get, you know, I give them cough medicine, over-the-counter, you know, cold medications and things, you know, and they get prayers along with those. But, you know, people need these things. I know we're in flu season. Would you like to go with and have the flu is just miserable? Imagine that with nothing.
And we're out of gloves. We are out of gloves already, and they need them bad right now. It is really cold. 19 degrees tonight here in Kansas, so
yeah.
We do need gloves.
Yeah, so we need all the things that, you know, my wife always says, pray about it and see what the Father puts on your heart, and then we'll use it. But
if he puts it on your heart to send it, he's got somebody coming to ask for it. So nothing ever stays around
long
at all. Yeah,
that's the amazing
thing. And it's mostly
thing.
The same day it comes, somebody comes.
Yeah, and that is pretty amazing. You know, people say, well, can you use this? And I used to think about it, and I'd say, oh, well, Mom, can we use that? Can we do it when we go, I don't know. Then over a period of time, we got to understand that if somebody offers something, take it. Because the Father's going to send somebody for it.
Every time.
So, you know, the ministry that we do is, you know, for such a small place, it's so much broader than, oh, well, we give them a plate of food. We give them a plate of food. We give them the gospel. We give them a Bible. They get miracle prayers. They get a frying pan sometimes or a coffee pot or a couch.
I usually put three big, large black trash bags, three or four every Tuesday, every Friday, and the closet is empty. It's empty. That's how much clothes we go through. So we'll take
anything,
all we can get.
You know, you can have extra things, luxury items around your house. Donate it.
You know,
somebody, the Father will send somebody.
I've got rid of tables, couches, beds, coffee pots, toasters. You name it. Everything you have, I've just about gave everything away.
Yeah, and somebody will come and get it because, like I said, we do minister to also poor people that have houses or the homeless, they'll get, you know, they'll wake up, you know. And here's the thing about this whole book, the Mystery of Catastrophe, points out how Father uses catastrophes to get people's attention and to change their mind. I can't tell you how many times, Shannon, that people have, I watched them lose everything they had to the point of even death, you know, and then they cried out to the Father, they asked for a miracle prayer, and then just miraculously, you know, almost in some cases instantaneously, but, you know, when they cried out, the Father rose them up out of their poverty, but he had to do it to get their attention.
They come back with a car and a job and a house and
right,
just to give us their praise report, not
right, amen,
just to say how well they're doing.
Or I run into them in a store and they're all of a sudden a manager and I don't recognize them. They say, hey, Pastor Dan,
right?
You recognize me? You picked me up off the sidewalk. I was stone drunk laying on the sidewalk. You picked me up, took me into the church. You fed me, you gave me coffee, and you witnessed to me. It changed my life. The witness changed my life, which it was Yahweh, had nothing to do with me. Anyway, he said, but I remember those, it changed my life. I now manage this store. And I've heard that more than once. And in fact, one was Home Depot and one was a Dillon's out east in a real fancy store. I had it happen in both places. A manager came up and thanked me, you know. And so, you know, we can't tell you what we do. Because it depends on the person and what the Father brings us.
If you just go browse the website, you'll see all the pictures. You'll see what we do.
Right. There's the point. But we really could use your help. And like I say, you can donate online or even call us over the telephone. We can do it. Or mail a check or money order, and you can find all the information at
prophecyhour.com.
Praise the Lord, Janet? Hey, that is great. I enjoyed tonight being with you. And, folks, we're going to have the Catlins back on again. Let's see, I'm looking at the schedule. We got you scheduled for Wednesday, December 19th. Does that still look good for you?
Yeah, actually, unless something changes it, folks, I'm trying to get Shannon to allow us to come on about every other week is what we're trying for, at least a couple times a month.
Hey, it's an honor working with you. And, folks, go over to prophecyhour.com. And tune into the program, support the ministry. I know you're going to be blessed, and you'll bless others. Brother and Sister Catlin, God bless you both. We thank you for coming on tonight.
Shalom. Be blessed.
Shalom to you.
All right.
Praise the Lord. That was Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin, prophecyhour.com. I want to thank them for coming on tonight and thank all the work that they have done, and Stan Johnson, the Prophecy Club, and others have done, covering end time news and bringing on so many great guests. They've really fed me over the years, and I know you'll be blessed. If it's your first time tuning into them, check them out. You'll love their shows. They're great. Great ministry. Honored to be working with them here on the radio.